Hi, I'm Robin.
And I'm Chris. Together we're the Gen X couple.
Hey guys.
Take three, not my fault. Hello, everyone.
No, it's totally my fault. We had started to record it before, and then I stumbled over my words so badly that I was like, you know what? Let's just start over again. And then we started again, and I messed up again. But in my defense, I'm super tired today. So we're actually recording this on Saturday, and we'll post it on Monday, but I wanted to give myself time in case I needed to do edits or anything. But last night, so Friday night, Chris and I went to Mohegan Sun, which is a casino down in Connecticut for anybody who's not local. And we went to the Duran Duran concert, which was amazing. I've wanted to see them for like 40 years. I've never seen them before. It was my first time. Chris's first time too. And they were so good, you guys. It was such an amazing concert. But it, like I said, it's down in Connecticut. It's about an hour and a half from our house. So the concert ended at what, like 10:45 or 11.
Yeah.
We didn't get home till like 12:30 this morning, which is way past our bedtime. Like so far, like we're usually in bed by what, 8:30?
Yeah. So if you hear me snoring, you know why.
Yeah, thanks. But anyway, so we had a late night last night. I was up at like 5 o'clock this morning because I had to go to the bathroom and then I could never get back to sleep. So I'm working on like 4 hours of sleep. So hopefully this take will be it. And then we have a late night tonight too. We're going to see Cyndi Lauper at the MGM Music Hall in Boston, which I'm also psyched about. I'm living my best 80s concert life this weekend. I've never seen Duran Duran. I've never seen Cyndi Lauper. And I'm so excited to go see her tonight in Boston. And I assume you are too. You're just being super quiet over there.
No, I'm excited.
Were you listening to me?
Yes.
So anyway,
I was not asleep.
So anyway, hopefully this is going to go well on this time and we'll get through this and not have to re-record. But if you do hear me make any stumbles, it's because I'm super tired and I'm old, you know. I can't party like I used to. So to the meat of the post, this is a surprise post. We don't usually post on Mondays. This is something we wanted to squeeze in before Halloween, and we already had a Halloween episode scheduled, so we figured we'd squeeze it in on Monday. So happy Monday to you guys, even though it's Saturday for us here. We got a lot of good feedback about our Bridgewater Triangle episode that we did a couple of weeks ago. So today we wanted to expand a little bit on that by sharing some stories from you guys. And truthfully, I didn't expect so much interest in that episode, but believe me, I get it. It's absolutely fascinating.
It really is. And keep those stories coming in.
Yeah, honestly, I would love to read more of your stories. So if you have any, send them our way. But if you haven't listened to our Bridgewater Triangle episode yet, I would suggest going back and listening to that episode before you listen to this one, because that way this episode will all make sense. And the thing that surprised me the most about the Bridgewater Triangle episode was when I told my sister that we were doing an episode on the triangle, her response was, "What's the Bridgewater Triangle?" And I was like, "What?" We grew up in a town that literally borders the triangle, so it was unimaginable to me that she hadn't at least heard of it, but alas, she hadn't.
And I lived in Bridgewater for 20 years, and I really didn't hear of it until I met Robin.
Yeah, okay, fair, I guess. But since there was such a positive response to our initial episode, what I did was I posted in the Bridgewater Triangle Facebook group to see if anyone in there had any personal stories they wanted to share here on the pod, and you guys delivered. And the first response I got was from a guy named Harry Green Jr., and here's what his message to me said. Quote, "I had an experience when I was 14 back in 96 behind Brockton High on the old quad trails with a very large bird that flew south going towards the Hockomock. Wider than a raised ranch house with patches of fur, I remember it had twigs caught in its fur and it was about 3 stories above me. In 2009 is when I learned about the triangle, so I had an interest and started to investigate all the hot spots." End quote. The thing is, Chris and I had literally just heard the story, and I knew exactly who this guy was as soon as I read it.
Yeah, I got this text from Robin that said, The Procter & Thunderbird guy just messaged me on Facebook.
Okay, so Chris and I had done a ghost tour at the end of September, or maybe it was the beginning of October. I can't remember. In Bridgewater, Massachusetts, as in the Bridgewater Triangle. We had done the tour a couple of years ago in 2022 and decided to do it again this year to see if there was anything different.
There wasn't anything different, but it's a very good tour with interesting stories.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I really liked it. You grew up in Bridgewater. I grew up in Easton, which is the next town over. So I think it's kind of cool to learn about this local haunted stuff. But sadly, the tour was pretty much the same tour that we did 2 years ago. But this year, she had different paranormal investigators along with the tour group than she did the first time we took it. This time, she had a couple of members of the Bridgewater Triangle Paranormal Investigators with us. And Harry told the tour group about his encounter with the Thunderbird in Brockton during the tour, so I knew it was the same guy as soon as I read the message.
Yeah, Harry sent us a couple stories, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And I'm actually going to read them now. There are three stories in total. And just to refresh your memory, if you haven't listened to the Bridgewater Triangle episode, or if you did and forgot, a Thunderbird is a Native American mythological bird associated with thunder and lightning. They are very large wingspan. They have very large wingspans up to 12 feet, and they're said to be able to create thunder and lightning by flapping their wings. So I'm going to go ahead and read the stories that he sent me now. Sorry if you hear some papers shuffling. I printed them out because I'm kind of a boomer. The first one says this. Took place in Easton. A family was driving on Bay Road, North Easton, by Allen Road, late one night when they had seen a soldier marching, dressed in Revolutionary War. I can't. Let me start that over again because I can't talk because I'm super tired because I'm working on 4 hours sleep. Okay, here we go. A family was driving on Bay Road, Northeastern, by Allen Road, late one night when they had seen a soldier marching dressed in a Revolutionary War outfit. The family thought it was some sort of reenactment. As they turned around to offer him a ride, they noticed that the soldier was nowhere in sight. The family drove down Lincoln Street trying to find him before realizing he was still nowhere to be found. The family turned around and now drove up Allen Road, but still no sign of the soldier. They quickly realized they must have seen a ghost. Another family reported a soldier marching south on Bay Road. So I found that interesting because I grew up right near there. Lincoln Street, I'm saying this for Chris's benefit. Lincoln Street is where the town pool is in Easton.
Okay.
So I used to ride my bike down there all the time growing up. So that's like a mile from where I grew up.
Did you see anything?
I did not. Although my brother, who's not the most reliable source, said he saw, and I'm going to quote him directly, an Abraham Lincoln-looking guy in our basement once. I don't believe it, but
I can see him saying that.
I can totally see him saying that, too. But again,
sorry, Brian.
I'm not sorry. I don't believe it for a second. Although, you know, supposedly, you know, my dad seen, and he had seen an apparition of my mother. She passed away in 2016 or 2017. I can't even remember. I can't keep my dates straight anymore. 2016. But yeah, he definitely didn't see an Abraham Lincoln looking guy in our basement. So on to the next story. Sorry, Brian. This also took place in Easton. The Wizard of Mill Pond. The John Seeley, I'm not sure if I pronounced that right, it's spelled S-E-L-E-E, sawmill was built in the 1700s on Mill Street, Northeastern. His son Nathan, who believed himself to be a wizard, took over the mill after his father's passing but had no help running it. One night, the devil visited Nathan in his home and asked Nathan to follow him into the woods. Nathan brought with him his magical spell book to impress the devil. After Nathan opened the book, a storm broke loose, scaring Nathan so bad that he ran home and threw the book into the fire. As the devil was chasing Nathan to his house, he landed on a rock so hard that it left his hoof embedded into the rock surface. The rock can be found in the woods at the Center School in Southeastern. He provided the coordinates, but you can search Center School in Easton, and I'm sure you'll find it. It's right at the end of Center Street, right by the monument. So back to the story. When the devil busted through Nathan's door, Nathan pleaded with Satan to show him mercy. Satan made a deal with Nathan, his soul in exchange for satanic imps as free laborers to run the sawmill. From then on, the whole town wondered how the mill was in operation, especially late at night. The townspeople walking by the mill would hear the sounds of imps murmuring. Today, there is a sign erected where the sawmill once stood, along with an old rock wall foundation in the woods near a small pond and river that was once a part of the mill. Locals claim they can still hear the imps running the mill at night. Others see black shadow figures and spook lights in the woods. Note, the imps could be puckwudgies. And I'm not sure if you guys remember from the Bridgewater Triangle episode, I did talk about the puckwudgies that are seen all throughout the Bridgewater Triangle. And I find that very interesting. I've never been to that foundation, but it's not too far from where my dad lives in Easton, so I'm going to have to check that out at one point. And finally, here is Harry's third story, and this one takes place in Bridgewater. And then I'm going to read the story, and then he has some comments to add at the end. The Hockomock Swamp, Skim Milk Bridge, located on Elm Street, and then he gives the coordinates to find the trail. This trail leads to Forest Street in West Bridgewater. A quarter of a mile down the trail on the right is a glacier stone structure bridge crossing over the town river. The bridge got its name from the river having a clay coloring at one time. The bridge dates back to 10,000 years ago, and no one knows how it was constructed. The bridge was used for travel by horse and buggy in the colonial days. They say you can still hear a horse galloping over the bridge. In the year 1916, a Brockton resident named Evelyn Packard took her canoe down the town river through the Hockomock Swamp and never returned. Her canoe was found bone dry, but no trace of Evelyn. The swamp was combed, but no luck locating the missing girl. 3 days later, her body was found floating under the Skim Milk Bridge. Her death is still a mystery. When walking down the trail heading towards Forest Street, a woman's voice can be heard as well as many whispers coming from the swamp. There was a report of a canoe floating down the river that turned into colorful red, blue, and orange spook lights that started hovering. So that was the story, and then here are some comments that Harry had sent me in addition to the story, and I wanted to read those to you guys too. And this is about the Skim Milk Bridge. So he said, "We heard whispers, and in that same spot we captured this white mist fly by the camera. One of the investigators started to feel weak. 2 years later, in that same spot, we heard a woman saying hello. The girl that was out with us started to feel hot in the middle of winter. She wanted to vomit and wasn't in her right mind after. She looked out of it. She was dazed. We took her home and suddenly she felt fine. She lives in Brockton where Evelyn was from. It's almost like Evelyn used her body to latch to for a free ticket out of the swamp. The term Hockomock means place where spirits dwell. It's been believed even if you pass away out there, your spirit is still stuck." And then he went on to say, "Back then, authorities believed it was foul play with Evelyn. There was a boys' summer camp on Forest Street, but it was never proven. We went back to the same spot with the whispers and turned on the spirit box. I asked if there was foul play. You hear a woman's voice yelling. I said, 'Stop it. Please stop. Please stop. Please stop it.'"
Yeah, those were good stories. Thank you for sharing them, Harry.
Yeah, Harry, thank you so much. I think Chris and I are actually going to ask him to come on the pod at some point next year and talk more about his own personal experiences.
Yeah, that should be a good episode.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear more from him. His group has done a ton of investigations, which are on their YouTube channel, and I bet he's got some great stories to share.
Yeah, I'm bet. I'm sure he has some excellent stories.
Yeah. I'm going to link his YouTube channel in the show notes if you guys want to check it out. I've watched some, not all of his YouTubes yet because I just haven't had time, but it's on my to-do list. So then Caitlin from Bridgewater sent me this. She said, "Hi, me and my friends went to the Triangle about 15 years ago. A few of us saw a body hanging from the noose just for seconds. It was almost clear. We could barely see it as we walked upon it. It was very creepy. We also heard many strange noises. Just the feeling you get being there is uneasy."
How creepy is that?
Right? I would be seriously traumatized if I saw something like that. And speaking of weird stuff, Jim Rice, who grew up on Elm Street in Bridgewater, had so many stories to tell about his experiences in the Bridgewater Triangle. He not only wrote an entire book about it, he's working on a second book. So in the Bridgewater Triangle episode, I talked about Lake Nippinicket, which us locals call the Nip. Elm Street is located very close to the Nip. And Jim was kind enough to let us share one of the stories from his book with you guys today. But first, I'm going to read his author's note. And the author's note in the book says, "The following is a true account of my experiences growing up on Elm Street in Bridgewater, Massachusetts, an area now commonly referred to as the Bridgewater Triangle. As is the case with any memoir or diary, I have presented the details of these events as I recall them. In order to establish continuity and coherence in my narrative, timelines have been adjusted, and the geographical arrangement and names of some locations have been altered for clarity. Names and identifying details of some individuals have been abbreviated or changed to protect the privacy. In short, the places are real, the people are real, and the stories contained within this book are true." And now Chris was going to read you one of his short stories, a chapter from the book.
This is a chapter in the middle from his book, Season of the Witchboard. "We should get an Ouija board."
Ouija
board.
I love that you said that.
"We should totally should," I thought for a minute. "Where can we get one?" Patrick and I were riding our bikes down Elm Street when one of us made this casual declaration. "We have just finished watching the movie Witchboard on VHS.
I love it.
Courtesy of the Movie Stop in West Bridgewater." I remember that place.
Is that the one you worked at with your mom?
No. "And in spite of the fact that playing with a Ouija board turned out to be a horrible mistake for MTV rock goddess Tawny Katane."
Tawny Katane. Oh my God. I should have read this.
"The idea of communicating with the dead was one we could not resist."
Tawny Katane was in the Whitesnake video. She's the hot chick that danced on the car, the middle of the car. I know you've seen it. All of us Gen Xers have seen that video.
Okay, we lived on Elm Street, and after all, and for years, it seemed as though something was trying to communicate with us. What if we were able to communicate back? Patrick remembered that his older sister, Lisa, who had moved to New Hampshire some years before, had once been in possession of a homemade Ouija board. He seemed to think it was still somewhat where in his parents' house. So with this in mind, we started off toward Patrick's house, eager to find the Ouija board and communicate with the spirits of the swamp. Now, the rest of the story either reeks of coincidence or some otherworldly intervention. But when we arrived at Patrick's house, we noticed a strange car in the driveway, and the thing we noticed about the strange car was the New Hampshire license plate. I had not seen Patrick's sisters for many years, and he insisted he had no idea that she's been planning to visit. We ran inside to say hello, and I immediately felt my face bloom red, for she had once been my babysitter, and I was forced to endure the indignity of listening to her recollections of me as a smart aleck child. After a few minutes, Patrick asked if she remembered the Ouija board and if she knew what had become of it. Lisa warned us that the board had freaked her out and that it sometimes had a tendency to spell things backwards, which is a sign of the devil, as she told it. But she was confident that the board was somewhere in the attic. From there, it was but the journey of a few minutes from the time Patrick climbed up into the crawlspace to the time I heard him say, "I found it." After he climbed down the crawlspace with the board tucked under one arm, we dashed off to his room to test its abilities. We didn't have a planchette to use on the board, so we found a short, heavy drinking glass, which we flipped over to use as a pointer. For what seemed like a very long time, nothing happened. Then, moving slowly that it was almost imperceptible, the glass began to move. It was as though something were pulling it, moving it by magic. Now, I know what you're thinking. One of us was moving it, and I don't blame you for thinking that. I'll admit it. I thought Patrick was moving it. When I asked him about it, and he said he thought it was me, but we tested out this theory. We saw the heavy glass would catch the wood and start to tip it if one of us applied too much a pressure or force. In fact, our fingers were barely touching it. Nevertheless, it did move. But it was far from active communication we've been anticipating after watching Witchboard. Rather than spelling out words, our makeshift planchette kept hovering over a series of numbers. 3, 4, 5. Maybe it's broken, I suggested. Maybe we got a dumb ghost, Patrick replied, crestfallen. We tried for a bit longer, but the board quickly lost its novelty, and so we headed outside to find something else to do. We were riding our bikes down Elm Street, still chatting about the Ouija board. I wondered out loud if perhaps the numbers were a code. Perhaps they correspond to the letters on a telephone. We were still turning over the possibilities when one of us said, maybe it's an address. We both stopped. We were standing in front of 345 Elm Street, a tiny white ranch surrounded by trees. Patrick turned to me with a hunted look in his eyes, old Miss Gibbs. The woman who lived there, my mom said, had died a couple of months ago. That was a very good story, Harry, but let me tell you, I am never going to use a Ouija board.
That was Jim, not Harry.
Oh, sorry.
But I also want to just... That was a great story, Jim, but... I'll talk more about you in a second. I think you said crescent-felled. I don't know what you said, but the word was crestfallen. You know, that like forlorn, like sad ho-hum. So I just wanted to correct that. And I also want to say, you did not see how hard he was struggling to pronounce Ouija board, which is the funniest thing. We've talked about this before. He mispronounces stuff all the time. So that was very... typical Chris, and I feel like I should be commended too for not laughing as much as I wanted to. I held that back because that was hilarious.
Thank you.
Okay, so moving on. Yeah, Ouija boards terrify me.
Yes.
There are way too many stories about Ouija boards inviting things in. I'm not going to risk it. Nope. Just like I will never say Bloody Mary 3 times in front of a mirror. I don't know. I just don't want to try it. You know, I don't want to find out the hard way. But that was a wild story, Jim. Thank you so much for sending that in. We're actually going to have Jim on the podcast in early 2025. And as much as I really want to squeeze it in this year, Chris and I just don't have the time. It's the last couple of months of the year. We've got a couple of trips planned and then the holidays. I swear, every weekend we have is booked up between now and the end of the year. So we're definitely going to have Jim on in January, and I'm excited to talk to him because I know that's going to be a good one. So stay tuned for that. I promise he'll be on hopefully in January. In the meantime, sorry, his book is called The Elm Street Diaries, and I'm going to link the book in the show notes in case you don't want to wait until January to hear about his experiences. He actually sent 3 stories, but I didn't want to share too much and take away from the interview we're going to have with him in January.
And that's going to do it for today. We hope you enjoyed all those stories. And if any of you have personal stories, especially about vampires, which I love, feel free to email them to us at thegenxcouplepodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, and a huge thanks to Harry, Jim, and Caitlin for sending in their stories. And like Chris said, if you guys have any stories to share about the Bridgewater Triangle, vampires, or whatever, send them over, because I'm not opposed to doing a part 2, especially if we can squeeze it in, you know, soon. I will certainly try my best. And if you guys love this episode, be sure to share it with all your friends, because that's the best way to get the word out about the pod.
Thank you for listening, and make sure you come back next Thursday for some...
Well, it's this Thursday,
actually. Oh, this Thursday.
Because we're in this week. Thank you.
For some fun Halloween trivia and fun facts. And until then... See you later, alligator.
In a wild crocodile.